today. So as Xander read to us so wonderfully, we can hear or we read at this point that Jesus is appointing and sending out his disciples. He selects 70 and sends them ahead of him in pairs to every town or place where he intended to go. So it's not just the 12 disciples. Jesus had many more followers. And he's telling them there's lots of work to do. There's this urgency. The harvest is great, but how few are the harvest hands? And we read that Jesus says, be careful. This is hazardous work. You're like lambs in a wolf pack. Has anyone felt a little bit like that before? Remember, you're part of a larger team. We're doing this together. So be encouraged. And Jesus gives them instruction. He says, when you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you. Heal anyone who is sick and tell them God's kingdom is right on your doorstep. And as we've just heard, Jesus also goes on to give them instructions on what to do for when they're not received. So this is a team effort. Jesus sends them out and there's a working together here. Note that Jesus wasn't in all these different places at once with the disciples. They went out to heal anyone who was sick. And Jesus says, after telling them to heal anyone who is sick, and tell them God's kingdom is right on your doorstep. So there is action and word together here. There's that quote that's usually attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, which says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. I would argue that that's not really necessarily biblical, because we see that the disciples don't just go around helping people and doing nice things and bringing healing, but they are talking to people about the kingdom of God. So let's be reminded that as followers of Jesus, we can go out, we can bring his healing, we can bring his healing to the places that we go, to the people that we meet, but it's important that we speak to people about who Jesus is, about what God's kingdom is about. And the 70 come back returning with joy, saying, Master, even the demons danced to your tune. This is the Message translation, by the way, which I'll be referring to throughout. It wasn't wrong that they were chuffed that they'd done all these great things for Jesus, but he just reminds them, not what you do for God, but what God does for you is the agenda for rejoicing. And Jesus rejoices and gives thanks. You know, I think, or I wonder as I read this, how wonderful it must have felt to be one of his followers and come back with this and see him rejoicing. And he gives thanks to God. And note that these are the unlikely people that do this work in preparing the way for Jesus. They're not the religious leaders of the day. Yet God has done amazing things as they have gone out willing. You don't have to be on the church leadership team to go out and bring God's healing. And let's not be fooled by con men on TV who say, pay me, however many dollars or however much, you'll get this hanky and this is the answer to your healing because I have a special anointing. You don't need to go see some healing expert to access the healing power of God. Amen. I remember when I was about 3 or 4, a very clear memory of when I was at home, and I remember having really bad earache. And it was really painful. And I remember just laying my hand on my ear and commanding it to be gone in Jesus' name. And I remember instant healing took place. Maybe when I was about 3 or 4. We can pray ourselves. And I remember also another time when I was a child and I was prayed over in church, not by the pastor or any prayer expert, but just by another believer. And I was healed again that time. Pastor Steve has many testimonies of healing that took place when, he spoke God's healing over himself, and he trusted God and believed that for that healing. And I'm sure some of you will have heard some of those testimonies. But don't be fooled that healing can only be done by certain people with some kind of special access to God. And don't be fooled that God can't work his healing in and through you. So Jesus tells the disciples that they're blessed to see this. And then the Message translation, Xander read this out so perfectly earlier. It says, just then in this lovely little time, this person who's a teacher or who's an expert in Mosaic law, which is the law or laws that God gave through Moses, he asks, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He's speaking here about that life that comes from God. And I love Jesus' response here because he says, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? In other words, you know, you're the lawyer who interprets the law. You know, so you tell me. And he says back to Jesus that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbour as well as you do yourself. Good answer, said Jesus. Do it and you'll live. Verse 29, looking for a loophole, or the NIV puts it, wanting to justify himself. He asked, and just how would you define neighbour? And then we hear the story, which many of you will be familiar with, of the Good Samaritan, how there was once this man travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On his way, he's attacked by robbers and he's left for dead. The priest passes him, leaves him, the Levite passes him, avoids him. The people that are supposed to care, that you would hope would care, don't seem to care. They avoid this guy. The Jewish religious officials see the man in this condition and they do nothing about it. And Jesus shows the corruption of the religious leaders of the day here, that they just leave this man for dead. What were their excuses, I wonder, and what would our excuses be? We could say, well, someone else really should help that man. That's not really my job, so I'll leave it for someone else. But if we don't take responsibility, who will? Well, there'll be someone else will do it. If I don't do it, someone else will. If I don't give that person that word, if I don't show that person that kindness, God will just get someone else to do it. Are you sure about that? Are you 100% sure about that? Because God does give us a choice as to whether or not we carry out his will. And people can say no. Look at Jonah. Jonah rejects God's call at first, and others are put at risk because of his decision not to carry out the call. Our actions affect our community, and we can bring a positive effect to our community. We can bring healing. We can direct people to the source of healing, our healer, to the one who saves and rescues our souls. We can pray for physical healing, we can help someone recover or become well again, help them as they recover back to full strength. Maybe they've had a tough time, they've felt knocked down by life. We can take care of one another. And we have responsibility to be agents of change, to be the salt, to be the light. Matthew 6, showing kindness and love where there is hatred, like the Good Samaritan did. And we can bring about positive change in the way that we treat people at work, at school, at college, showing a different way in how we respond to people and situations. There are many people that want power, want status, want position, but do not want responsibility, do not want to have to be inconvenienced. Church, are we willing to be inconvenienced? No. To be as concerned with the needs of others as we are our own? So Jesus shows the corruption of the religious leaders, that these guys will just pass on by and leave the man to die. Another excuse, perhaps they were thinking, well, it's too late for that one. Bless his soul, but he's a goner. You know, I'm glad that God's never passed me by and said, it's too late for Libby. She's just too badly damaged. Let her go. She's no good now. Or she's not important enough or valuable enough for me to help her. Perhaps they assumed he was a hopeless case. If you're in here today and you feel like you're a hopeless case, let me tell you that there's hope for you.
Yes.
Maybe you think, well, I've messed up too much. I've made too many mistakes. But let me tell you, it is not too late for you. If you think that you're of no worth, that's wrong. You are of worth. It's not too late for you. Maybe you're in here today and you've had a nasty surprise. You've taken a bit of a beating. You've been through a bit of a traumatic experience and you think, it's too late for me now. I can't really do anything meaningful for Jesus because I'm too badly hurt. I'm too badly wounded to be any good now. Perhaps you can't see how you're going to recover. But God makes a way. Psalm 147:3, he heals the heartbroken and bandages their wounds. Psalm 103:6, God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. There is healing for you. There's a very famous gospel singer, Mahalia Jackson. She's not alive at this time, but she worked with Martin Luther King in the struggle for civil rights. Just an interesting fact, she was Aretha Franklin's babysitter, if you're into interesting facts about gospel music. But one of her very famous songs is called How I Got Over. And she sings, you know, how did I get over? How did I make it through this? You know, I look back and I wonder, how did I make it over? Well, as soon as I can see Jesus, the man that died for me, the man that bled and suffered, hung on Calvary, you know, and she sings, I want to thank him. He brought me through. I'm going to thank him because he never left me. And, you know, I want to encourage you, when you don't know how you're going to get over a beating, a bad time, something bad that has happened to you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn to Jesus. We read about that in Hebrews 12. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, sometimes those that we would hope would help might let us down, like the religious leaders who passed this guy. But Jesus will always pick us up. He'll pick us up, help us to recover, and provide for our future needs. And we, this is the exciting part as well, we can be like the Good Samaritan in our communities, in that we can be people that really do take care of one another, regardless of where each other is from or the history between us. Perhaps one of the excuses that they thought was, well, I don't know first aid. Well, why didn't they go and find someone then that did? Someone who's not from York called me the other day and they'd passed a homeless person and they'd said, oh, I've just seen this guy outside of Sainsbury's, but I'm not quite sure, you know, whose number should I give him, or, you know, how can I help? And so I gave them the information to pass on about the services in York. And I thought that was wonderful that they passed this guy, they saw the need, and they weren't quite sure what information to pass on. So they called me and they asked. And we can do that. There are situations where we might not necessarily know exactly how to help. We might not be able to go in and help that person ourselves. And of course, there are situations where we need to exercise wisdom and be careful. But we can report the situation. We can make sure someone else is aware of it and able to act. We know that human trafficking is a big issue, slavery, we might witness a crime that we need to report to make sure that those people get the help that they need. And there's also Pastor Steve and myself that you can always call. So we take care of one another. We can bring a positive change to our communities, to the places that we travel through, whether it's the office or the streets. How exciting is that? Just one act of taking care of someone can be a powerful thing. Perhaps I thought, oh well, he only has himself to blame. He shouldn't have been walking down this road alone at that time. Let him suffer for it. It's said that this road was well known for its dangers, for crime, and for robbery. And some commentators say he was a fool, a reckless character. There may also be some with the view that perhaps he was just proud. He thought that he could handle all the dangers on his own. Of course, all these are possible. It's also perhaps possible that this guy just didn't really think things through. We don't really know for sure. I read one comment about how this guy only had himself to blame, but as Christians, we must be careful not to have a blame culture, not to have an attitude where we say, well, that person only has themselves to blame, so let them learn their lesson. Because actually, we don't always know all the facts. Let's make sure that we're not quick to jump to conclusions. But whatever the reason of why this guy was walking on his own down this road, we don't see the Good Samaritan saying, you absolute numpty, you silly fool. We don't see that. Because actually, I think that the beating that he'd taken, what had happened to him, was probably enough to make him realise that it wasn't a good idea to ever go down that road again. What we really need to be concerned about is taking care of one another and demonstrating God's love. If you're in here today and you've done some really, perhaps, foolish things, Jesus isn't going to, you know, give you a slap and tell you off. He's here to heal you and to help you get things sorted out. So the Jewish religious officials don't help this man, but the Samaritan helps him. Verse 33 to 35, a Samaritan travelling the road came on him. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, and it goes on to say what he did. Jesus' listeners were probably expecting Jesus to say that a common Jewish man came and helped. But as I've mentioned before, Jesus is showing the corruption of the religious leaders of the day, that the man who actually helped was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. And generally speaking, Jews and Samaritans hated each other. And some Jewish religious leaders taught that a Jew was forbidden to help a Gentile woman that might be in distress giving birth, because by doing that, they'd have helped one more Gentile come into the world. These are the religious leaders of the day. And they thought that the Samaritans were worse than other Gentiles. The Jewish teachers by neighbour understood only those who were of their own country, nation, and religion, those whom they were pleased to look upon as their friends. The Mosaic law, we know, commanded you shall love your neighbour, Leviticus 19:18, but some teachers added to this, and this got twisted into being that in the same way you should love your neighbour, you should also really hate your enemy. And also that you should, you know, give to people who are good, but you don't help the sinner. So the Jews really despised the Samaritans, and yet it's the Samaritan that saves this guy. What a reminder that the culture that surrounds us, or that what we are exposed to, should never be what we allow to define how we treat people or how we view people's worth. Our Bible says, 1 John 4, 20-21, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. Wow, that's very clear, isn't it? If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. Yeah. You've got to love both.
Yeah.
Jesus died for everyone, including the people that we don't like. Okay? And let me just add here that we must love people from all places and of all ages. And we must stand against ageism and not allow ageism in our church. You know, we read about how the religious leaders in that day ended up twisting and adding to the teachings. And this is why it's so important that we know our Bibles, that the Bible is our source of how we treat people, of how we conduct ourselves, and that we keep on praying and that we ensure that we have that personal relationship with Jesus so that we're not fooled by any false teachings. The Jews were basically taught, if you're mean to me, then I'm mean to you. So Exodus 21:24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, this gets taken out of context. I spoke about this when we spoke about loving your enemies recently. And it becomes this obligation with regards to personal relationships, that if you're mean to me, then I'm going to be mean to you. And of course, that was not at all what this law was about. We see in this story that that's not how the Samaritan behaves. The Samaritan's actions are kind. He doesn't say, well, do you know, your people are awful to my people, so I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave that guy for dead. Why should I help him? That's not his attitude. The Samaritan has compassion and helps this beaten man. He shows a better way. We know as followers of Christ that when someone hates on us, we don't go hating back. We can be people that help to break a cycle of hatred, and we have power in that sense. Society might not tell us that we're very powerful, but you know, forgiveness is powerful. Showing kindness and compassion is powerful. You know, for the kids in here, I know we have one today, you know, the bullies at school, they can tear others down with their words. But do you know what we can do, Riley? We can build others up with our words, and that can be powerful. So when we're bullied, we don't become a bully too. We show a different way. Jesus says, verse 36, what do you think? Which of these three became a neighbour to the man attacked by robbers? Well, the one who treated him kindly, the religion scholar, responds, and Jesus says, go and do the same. Let's just consider some thoughts regarding the Samaritan, and then we're just going to have a little time of prayer. When the Samaritan saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him, and he gave him first aid. So he sees the need and his heart goes out to this guy, but he does something about it. Lots of the time we might see a need, we might feel some sense of compassion, but what is it that we do about it? And do we actually always see the need? Are we as concerned with the needs of others as we are with our own needs? Now, you might be in here with a particular need today, and there's no shame in admitting that you need God's help, that you have needs. But sometimes it can be so easy to become consumed in our own needs that we forget to look outward to the needs of others and to work together to do what we can, whenever we can, wherever we can, to help. There's that quote from John Wesley, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. When we do see a need, what do we do about it? Do we have to be asked by someone to do something, or do we just crack on? And of course, there's that working together where in the church we can work together to help others. Seeing the need was enough for the Good Samaritan to do something about it. And if you see a need and you're not quite sure how to help. Please remember you can always speak to Pastor Steve or I, and of course always ask God for guidance. We can ask God the best way to help. But the Samaritan, he does a proper job of helping this guy, because not only does he give him first aid, but he also supplies the 2 denarii to cover this man's needs for at least 2 to 3 weeks in the inn. And we know it would have probably taken some time for this man to recover. He'd been beaten badly. And the Samaritan enables this recovery to take place. He says, if it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. So it seems from this that actually the Samaritan is also going to check in on the guy when he gets back from wherever it is that he needs to go. How many of you know that Jesus enables our recovery? He's our recovery when we've taken a bashing. He picks us up, cares for us, and provides for our future needs. He's always there checking in on us, and it's up to us, of course, whether we accept that help. And the wonderful thing is that we can also then help others and bring them the comfort that we've received and share that, as Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians 1. Life sometimes brings us some nasty experiences, some traumatic experiences can occur. Maybe it's because we've taken a bit of a wrong turn, maybe not, but perhaps it might feel as though we've been beaten or bruised, and we might feel a little bit damaged by what has happened to us. Perhaps you're in here today and you're just feeling that you're no good anymore, or in a sense that, you know, you've had it now, you're kind of in that state where you may feel just left for dead. Have you been let down by those that should have helped you? Let me tell you, Jesus is on his way. Yeah. How many of you know that there is a healer, one who picks us up and takes care of us, heals us back to health, back to a place of wholeness and wellness? I've experienced God's healing, and I know that there will be many testimonies of his healing in this room. I want to bring Jesus joy like the 70 did when they came back, working for him, being a bringer of his healing. Isn't that a wonderful thought, that we could bring joy to Jesus? If you're lacking any sense of purpose today, please remind yourself that you can be a bringer of God's healing to someone, and that you can show a better way, like the Good Samaritan did, to those around you. We can help pick others up and bring them to the healer. We can follow this example that Jesus has laid out for us. Let's show that better way, where we don't say, you've been mean to me, so I'll be mean to you. But let's break cycles of hate and choose to love those who aren't our friends. So we're just going to pray now. And I just want to encourage you that if you need God's healing today, then now is the time to receive. Perhaps it's emotional healing that you need and you've been hurt. Perhaps it's physical healing that you need. You need a physical miracle. Whatever your need is today, God sees it. He's our healer, he's our helper. And he helps us to help others also. So if you have a need today, I just want to open up your hands, or just whatever action you want to take to signify today that you want to receive a touch from the Lord. And we're just going to invite him to bring his healing now. God, we thank you that you are our healer. We thank you that you've saved our souls. We thank you that you pick us up, that you strengthen us. Lord, we thank you for the way that we can shake off the serpent, as Paul did, Lord, when he was attacked. And Father God, we pray that you would help us to be people who show your love and your kindness and go by what your Bible says rather than what anyone else or the world may tell us. Help us to show your compassion, and when we see needs, Lord, to do something about it. Help us, Lord, to be willing to go out of our way to help others. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you now to bring healing in this place.